Broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn, you're listening to heritageradionetwork.org.
Today's program has been brought to you by Fairway Market. For more information, visit www.fairwaymarket.com.
Good morning. Welcome to another installment of The Morning After, episode 36, broadcasting live from Roberta's heritageradionetwork.org now. I didn't get that memo. I guess we're not at .com anymore. I like .gov myself. That's just me. I'm your host, Jason Colucci, here today with special guest Shauna Pacifico, chef. Would you say chef? Is chef de cuisine or
chef?
Or
de chef? Cuisine.
CDC, as we call it in the industry for...
CDC sounds way cooler.
Yeah, exactly. And we have actually a special guest in here today. She just popped in, Judy McGuire. Mike and Judy does the Mike and Judy show, which airs...
It's a Judy and Mike show today.
Is it?
Yes, because it's in honor of my book.
And I was sifting through it. Can you talk a little bit about it? I'm not going to pretend like one of these hosts. Like I read it last night.
Jason.
I loved it. You just handed it to me about 2 minutes ago. So there's a party this week.
There's a party this week. All the morning. Morning after. I assume you guys like boobs.
Yes, we do.
It's sponsored by Pabst, and Crack and Rum will also be represented.
Crack
like
and
that's
rum?
That's Crack and Rum is like the Captain Jack Sparrow, the Kraken,
the Kraken.
Octopus, yeah, the Kraken that comes.
Yeah, so there's going to be cocktails. It's at Powerhouse Arena on Thursday the 12th from 7 to 9. Then we're having an after party at Superfine, also in Dumbo.
And anyone can go.
Anyone can go. Princess Superstar will be reading. I love her. Mike Edison,
Judy and Mike show. Who looks great these days?
Why is he so?
I was like, I saw Mike Edison today, and I said, Mike, you look great. And I just think he likes like the miserable thing is his thing.
Yeah.
And he's like, I was like, no, you look good. He's like, why are you telling me I look good? I was like,
what? I look bad before?
No, I was like, you just look good. Okay, so the summer, it's healthy. He had his, you know, he's got a lot of stuff going on. I think he's the show is doing really well, right? I
mean, we're in the top 25.
that's well. Speaking of like people that say stuff like that, Patrick Martin's always like whenever he introduces you to somebody that doesn't know the network, he's like, this is Jason Colucci. He has one of the top 20 shows on the network. I'd be like, oh, thank you.
20
thank
out
you.
Of 21.
So tell me, exactly. Yeah, I think it's like 26. We just, 26 now.
Well, then we're in the top 26.
There you go.
Tell me, I saw a section here about movies or something, like some movies.
Oh, there's a whole bunch of stuff in there. There's a whole bunch of superstar contributors, like Ray Gaines from Rude Boy, which you guys are too young to know. Let's see, Andrew W.K. contributed
He's
to the
great.
Book.
Where's he been? He kind of dropped. He was huge when Shauna, we're the same age.
Yeah.
He dropped off the face
no,
of the earth for a while.
No, he did
well,
not.
In my, like, well, he was on MTV. I guess maybe he was on MTV for a while.
Who watches MTV over 30? Are you guys under 30?
No.
Not anymore.
Okay.
We're early 30s.
But that's okay. Kind of when he defined his persona, right?
Well, he married this really cute girl who's like an aerobics musician. She's really funny, Sherry Lilly. He was like he was so easy to deal with. He's really funny and he's really addicted, like into partying. So he wrote like tips on how to not have a bad party. I tried to get Evan Seinfeld, who used to be in Biohazard and is now like a porn king, but he could not get his shit together.
No, when you say that, you call them and he just would never send you anything, or
he was
called
always
me, out. And,
okay, anyway. He called me at 1 a.m. I guess he's in L.A., and I didn't pick up the phone, so then it never happened. But I have his home phone number if anyone wants it.
There you go. And then there was another section about there was a gay and lesbian kind of thing.
Oh, there's tons of gay stuff in there.
What's that? What's going on with that?
Well, a lot of times when you write about homosexuality in music, it gets ghettoized into a whole separate genre, but this is just like sex. There's gay sex in there. There's songs about boobs. There's songs. There was going to be songs about fisting, but my publisher got a little antsy.
Can you come into the office?
We need to have a talk.
We need to have a talk.
Jisley's list can't be in there anymore. But yeah, there's something for everyone, no matter who you sleep with.
Matt, is this okay? There's a young man here, Matt.
Oh, yeah, it's perfectly fine.
You're okay with the fisting stuff. Okay, I don't want to...
Oh, God, I'm so uncomfortable right now.
Matt, who are you?
I'm Shauna's nephew.
Oh, dear, sorry.
It's 16.
Sorry.
So keep talking about fisting.
You don't want to do that.
He probably knows more than I do.
I know. My nephew and niece are coming, and I'm just like, well, they're 18 and 19.
He's living with me for 2 months.
Judy, are you familiar with Breezy Point? Have you ever gone out there?
Where is that?
It's like at the end of Flatbush Avenue. I guess that's like the best
it's
way.
Like Queens.
No.
I don't know what it officially falls under, Brooklyn or Queens.
No, that's Queens.
It's
like
Queens.
Rockaways is Queens.
Rockaways.
JFK is in Queens.
Yeah.
When you go out to the Rockaways, you drive out there?
I did this week. I got a zip car for the first time.
Which one did you get? Did you get the Volvo
Simbad.
S40?
Simbad. That's his name. It was a Nissan Max.
Nissan Maxima. Yeah.
Something.
Sometimes I splurge. I get the Volvo S40. I think I'm like big shot. Then it says wheels when you want them on the back. And I said, yeah, it's not. I guess it's not really my car.
You're the man.
But there's that bridge. So I was at Breezy Point. Yes.
Oh yesterday. Yeah, the bridge going.
Yeah. Okay. Uh-huh. So
that's narrow.
I don't know what happened, but 3 years ago I have serious anxiety on bridges. So I borrowed my friend's bike because I was going out to my friend's house out there, and I got to the bridge. And I was like, I have to. It was like a scene in a movie where I had to psych myself, like I was jumping out of a plane or something. I was going over a bridge on a bike, and I waited like 5 minutes, and I put my phone in, and I was listening to music, and I got up, and I'm like halfway there, and I'm just started. You know, does anyone here have a little bit of anxiety?
Oh, I have a lot of anxiety.
And you start overthinking everything and stuff like that. And I'm like, the bridge is gonna fall. It's gonna fall on here, and I'm gonna land and stuff. So anyway, I made it over. But that's a great area just to go.
Oh yeah, the beaches out there are great. They're close to the city. There's lots of great food out in the Rockaway now.
Yeah, what's Rockaway Taco? What's
Rockaway Tacos out there? Roberta's, they have Rippers out there. Great burgers. There's an Arepa place. Blue Bottle Coffee, I think. There's lots of good food out there. That's great.
And Judy, since you asked, I am going to be on Sirius XM in 2 weeks on...
Did
I just have a blackout?
on the Martha Stewart Network.
Are you really?
I will be on there as myself.
not your pseudonym?
Yes, not as Carte Blanche, my hip-hop name. As myself, I'm going... Amanda Freitag is guest hosting... on a show. I guess they have a cooking show on there that they have a weekly guest that changes every week. And I'm going to be her guest on Monday. So anyone, not this Monday, next Monday, whatever date that is, I think it's, I don't know, 21st.
Something like that.
Tune in. I know they replay it 100 times. But
I don't have XM. I mean, I was actually a guest on the show, and I couldn't ever listen to it because I'm like, where do I get it?
Oh, you have to get them to give you a password. My friend has a show on Sirius XM called The Press Pool, and so she gave me her producer's password. That's how I listen to anything on Sirius.
Oh. You can get a week.
Passcode has now been changed.
They tell you if you want to record it, because I think they have so many guests that come in and out of there. You can go online and get a week's free pass if you're whoever,
really?
And then you could record it to your computer.
What are you going to be talking about, Jason?
You know, I have a couple of ideas. One is I have a whole kind of format, but I'm going to read every food magazine that gets put out this week, and just do a review of how good or bad the food world is. I'm definitely going to talk about that. I'm working on a chef impression.
Which one?
I have a few. I can't really. Yes, that's one thing I'm going to do. The chef impression.
You have to do Anthony Bourdain because he's annoying, and you could do him really funny. I'm so tough.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah, exactly. He's always traveling somewhere.
I love the Ramones.
Talk about sellout. He has a show on ABC now. That's what
exactly.
Right?
He's
whole...
not on the Travel Channel anymore.
Well,
is that where he was?
Yeah, Travel Channel, jumping around. But now he's doing. Is it Nigella Lawson? Is that her name? He's doing a show with.
Oh, he's doing everything. He's so busy now that he dumped his old wife and has a model wife.
Oh, really? Wait, I didn't know that.
Wait. The one just recent.
No. This is his. Model wife who he has a kid with now.
Oh, okay. But he's been with her for a while.
Yeah.
Okay.
Still, I'm like Howard Stern before Howard Stern dumped his wife for a young model.
So the party is this Thursday?
Thursday, Powerhouse Arena in Dumbo from 7 to 9. Then we're having an after party at Superfine. Pabst Blue Ribbon is sponsoring. There's lots of booze and really great, funny readers. I hope you guys come.
Everyone, check that out. Let's take a break. We're going to come back. We're going to speak to Matthew Bourgeois, who's a food correspondent for The Morning After. Got our boys, Joe. Actually, we got a full team there in the studio. We got Joe and Carlos today. Morning After. We're back. Morning After. We're going to talk to a good friend, Matthew Bourgeois, correspondent for The Morning After, out and about all over the world. Matthew.
Yes, how are you, Jason?
How's it going, man? I know that we've kind of been going back and forth. You've been in a few different cities covering, checking out some food places for us. What's up? What's going on?
Well, I found myself down in Vienna, Virginia, not too long ago, and not the coolest town in the world, but they have a huge Middle Eastern culture. So I checked out some restaurants like that, and I got into this one place called Shamshiri. It's Persian food, and I fell in love with it. I tried this one dish called the Shiram Polo. It's rice with dried cherries in it, and it's my new favorite thing right now.
When you're in Virginia.
When you're in Virginia.
Was that like a random off I-95 Virginia, or were you actually?
I want to see. For a few nights, and you walk into the place, and it's not the nicest spot in the world, but the food is just off the hook. But yeah, I was there for a few days, I actually went back 3 days in a row.
I have to check with the Morning After production team and make sure all your receipts are being properly allocated. That's so from there, where we go? You were in Canada? What's going on with that?
I was in Canada not too long ago, but now I'm actually back up north, up in New England.
Oh, I love New England.
And,
time of year.
I'm doing my seasonal New England, hitting up the strawberry season and.
Ooh, is it blueberry season? Blueberry season, strawberries, black fly season, mud season, blueberry season. That's like Maine. There's always like a season going on.
There's always a season going on in Maine.
So you Hampton Beach, you mentioned earlier today when I spoke to you, a specific spot that you were at that you liked.
Yeah, it's a bit of a family tradition. My father's been going to this place called Seal's Clam Stand since 1964. The place has been open since 1949, so it's family run, and it's just one of the best spots in town, as far as like getting some good local clams and good fresh scallops and all that good stuff.
So it's a fish fry place.
It's a fish fry place, but it's above and beyond that. They have a secret recipe that everybody always tries to get their hands on.
They always say that New England. They always say that New England. They always say that New England, and it's always just ketchup and mustard mixed together.
Ketchup and mayonnaise.
We keep it simple.
It's like I would always be like, Matt. Do you remember you worked at that place called the Camden Deli?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, well, when you worked at the Camden Deli, like their secret sauce, every secret sauce was like a derivative of mayo, Tabasco, mustard, or ketchup. It was like a Chinese food menu, secret sauce. It's like, what? It was like five ingredients.
Yeah,
100 different ways.
Oh, yeah.
So, where else? What other city? You're all over the place these days. I was watching your...
I was in Maine the other day. They actually had the main homebrew beer craft festival where they're like all the local homebrewers were trying. It was pretty great.
Sea Dog? Did Sea Dog win? Shipwreck?
No, homebrews. I'm talking like backyard stuff, like basement brews.
Is that legal?
The winner actually got featured on the Sunday River Brewery menu for the whole fall, so it's kind of exciting. But I wasn't there for the finals, so I don't know who actually won.
And we have some Floridians in house today in studio, Matt. You spend a lot of time down. You were just came back from Florida too. Where do you reside when you're down there?
Yeah, I was down in the Jupiter area. I was in Jupiter, Tequesta, that place. A lot of good food down there. I got my fill of grouper when I was down there.
Good food. Yeah, I guess so.
Grouper?
Yeah, I love my grouper.
How do you like your grouper? Grilled?
Grilled, yeah, blackened.
Blackened.
So let's see. What else you got for me? You're supposed to be reviewing places. You got anything better for us or what?
Anything better?
What other cities have you checked out? Roberta's right now is 100 and... Well, the studio's nice, but it's like 110 degrees.
It's pretty hot.
In New York.
Yeah.
And, the hipsters have officially given in. They're not here. They've officially, called... They're not... I don't know where they're
at. Pretty empty for...
American Apparel doesn't make clothes small enough for this weather. And the ones they do are too tight. for everything else. But no, that's great. You're gonna head back. Where's your next stop? Are you traveling around for doing some shows and stuff?
Yeah, I'll be down in Western Massachusetts next week. I got to do a little work down there. Amherst, cool little college town, and then hopefully be in New York not too far after that. So
fair enough. Oh wait! Is Fish is traveling around now too? They're in the Northeast, correct?
Yeah, well, Fish was just playing. They played Worcester not too long ago. I think they're in New York.
Worcester.
Yeah, I think they just played Long Beach or something, or Jones Beach.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jones Beach. Actually, I might come down to the Grateful Dead or Rat Thug or what are they called now? Further is playing at Jones Beach in a few weeks. I come down for that.
Sean, do you know about this stuff?
No.
Do you know about Fish?
Are
you like me? You have to schedule. Like, there's three people that work for you. You have to schedule around the Fish's tour. There's like three people. There's three people that have worked for me for like for 3 or 4 years, off and on, at different restaurants. And their only requirement for the year is like when Fish is in the Northeast, I have to like reschedule.
I never got into Fish.
Yeah, same here. But yeah, Matt, when did you jumped on the bandwagon? What year?
I've been listening to them since '96.
You know,
I'm considered a late bloomer for the real Fish fan.
96 is a long time ago.
Yeah.
They're around since 85, I think.
Speaking of New England. But Matt, thanks a lot. We'll catch up soon enough. I'll see you when you're back in New York.
Thank you. Great talking to you. Take care.
Cheers. Shauna, Matthew Bourgeois covering.
How do I get that job? Are you paying him to...
Yeah, he has free room and board in New York whenever he comes. I mean, so he actually owes me money.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Matthew Bourgeois is one of my best friends, and we had roommates in college, and he travels a lot around for antique auctions and stuff.
Oh.
And if he's in another city, he'll cover a restaurant or check something out, and then report.
Call you.
Yeah, and then report back, and then the morning after we'll pick up the check if you will. But
if he produces good information.
But he brought up something interesting, and then in the next segment we're gonna talk about Back 40 and everything, but Florida is a fascinating state to me, and I know it's I'm from Staten Island, so I'm very cynical about from where I come from.
Yeah,
and I'm sure you have the same kind of thing. It's like a Jersey thing, you know.
I'm sure there's some really good restaurants and small owned businesses in Florida that are interesting, but for the most part, my memory, my experience, even when I go back and visit, it's very chain, very corporate.
Yeah.
You know, like Olive Garden and those kind of things, which I find completely frustrating.
But in the quote unquote green room before, we were talking, talking about people that I've worked with, some of the best. I don't know if it's because it's a very service industry oriented state.
Yeah.
And tourism is a huge part. Like,
sure.
You know, 70% of the economy. Just like come in and just like, I don't know, some of the best people. The servers or back in the house.
Yeah, they
people,
can rock it. Yeah.
They just know what's up. Do you find that to be the case a lot?
I actually haven't. I've only worked with a couple of Floridians. But I generally find people from, Florida or the Midwest or like, they're like intense. They're ready to work.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah, but they're also.
I find New Yorkers a little lazy.
I can go further into that, but
no, I was just kidding.
I'll get a phone call from somebody, but it's Northeasterners. It's weird because we're a little bit older now, and the whole new crop is coming in, of people, and it's extremely interesting for me, as now being in sort of upper management and dealing with stuff and actually giving people philosophy and things that positive things and negative things that you've learned and who's coming through the door.
Yeah.
So, whether it's people from New York or Florida or whatever, it's completely changed. It's not like when we were coming up when it was just like random people, like anyone could work. There was no, no one's coming out of school. Everyone was like, there was no E-Verify.
Well, I find that people in the kitchen mostly is what I deal with. They're expecting so much, and I'm like,
thanks Food Network.
Yeah, it's not any different than it was 10, 12, 13 years ago when I started. It's like it's hard work for low pay, great reward supposedly, but they're coming out of school expecting to make more than anybody makes, and I'm just like, it's not gonna happen. Still a restaurant.
TV messed that up. I mean, for a lot of things. I mean, the celebrity chef killed that because you've done a lot of events, and every events, and you'll see celebrity chefs there. You know what? You know who's carrying that crap out to the back to the car?
Yeah,
it's the chef, like, you know, yeah. and some other people, but. There's this mysticism behind it that they see somebody on TV and stuff, yeah. that there's no work behind yeah. it. And the sad part is a lot of the people you see on TV are the, you know, most of the majority of them are some of the hardest working people.
Yeah, but they've done the work. You know, they've already, you know, the Anthony Bourdains of the world yeah. have done
the
hard
work.
They put their time in, and great for them, and Mario Batali and all these people that have this, you know, celebrity status. But it's there's still people doing the work.
Yeah.
It's still really hard work.
Well, I'm really interested in our next segment to hear about Back 40's new location.
Yeah.
Let's take a break. We'll come back. I have a great bio here I'd like to read that we wrote today.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. We'll take a break. We'll come back morning after.
When the moon starts glowing and the wind starts blowing and the palms all start to sway, I think about you and what you're doing. I miss you more. Seldom seen, seldom seen. He's more dangerous than New Orleans. He broke the law like the water broke the levee. Magazines, shaving cream, and a couple of cans of refried beans. That was all he brought because the rest was just too heavy. Barged in looking like Attila the Hun in an old tweed suit with a Tommy gun. He said, now everybody kiss the ground. The teller reached down and pressed the alarm.
Today's program was brought to you by Fairway Market. Whether you are cooking for one or for a crowd, Fairway Market literally has everything you need for a fantastic meal. But if you don't feel like cooking, no worries. They cater. Check out fairwaymarket.com for more information, and be sure to check the new blog, On Our Plate, for weekly specials, health tips, and recipes.
He switched it for a chef.
We're back morning after. On January 23rd, 2012, industry blogs and publications announced that Chef Shauna Pacifico would be leaving Back 40 East and moving to Helm Back 40 West.
That was so ridiculous.
Which was occupying the old Savoy space in Soho. Back 40, a shortened form of Back 40 Acres, a term used by landowners or farmers that develops part of their land for animal grazing, farming, etc.
The growing rest pot.
What's that?
Growing pot.
And growing pot, I guess. The restaurant encompasses this ideal with its market-driven menu and chef, you know, ideas and everything, and you're here. Thank you, first of all.
Yeah, thanks here. For having me.
Thank you for sort of contributing to the first part of the show.
Yeah.
I didn't know this, but we kind of have the same sort of background in the sense that you used to guest host Patrick Martin's.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how I got here.
Yeah.
Heritage Radio, how has it changed since you started? Because you were doing it, like, in the beginning.
Well, yeah, no, it's definitely, like I said, there's AC in here now. We used to, like, sweat like crazy.
Yeah,
completely. Like animals in here. There seems to be a lot of really great hosts, a lot of interesting shows going on. It's definitely, I think, broadened. More people know about it.
The another time I was on, I don't know if it was on Eat or whatever the hell it was, and I came across your work. Mm-hmm. Other than knowing the restaurant was, you were breaking down a steer.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how you, as someone who has purchased steers, not cows, man, we call them steers. Cows are for milking.
Cows are for milking.
Good to know.
we would order from Milan Farms, like a whole steer, and it would get delivered in four quarters. Mm-hmm. And it would take four guys to carry each piece downstairs. And it's not like, oh, well, it's only 200-300 pounds. Yes, but it's the most
awkward
weight you've ever seen. You know, there's no logic to it. It's not like, okay, well, that guy stands there, and that guy stands here, and that guy stands here. It's weird. So talk to me a little bit about that.
Back 40 open. Almost 5 years ago, and we were buying this grass-fed beef from Montana called La Sance, and it was great. But it was in the meat tasted really good, but they were sort of only sold us like burger meat, and then they kept raising the price and raising the price, and delivery was expensive, and we were just, Peter and I were like, let's get a whole animal. Let's and Peter and I and Ryan Tate, who was the chef at Savoy at the time, and I had no idea. I mean, I've butchered, I can break down pigs, I could do those things, but I had no idea what I was getting into. And like literally we get this half steer delivered, and I was just like, what am I going to do with that? Like,
yeah, it's crazy.
There was a huge learning curve to it, and just kind of making a lot of mistakes and just sort of teaching myself, watching videos online and learning things from other chefs or reading books.
The interesting thing about, you talk about mistakes, the mistakes are like, you know, major financial mistakes, which are, if you're breaking it down and you say you have the filet mignon or, you know, pismo, whatever you want to call it, and it's actually to get access to it, it's a specific kind of cut. You could destroy a whole cut.
Yeah, you could destroy a ribeye that I could sell for $90, $100 in the restaurant. I cut in the middle of that and it's screwed. But my saving grace was, because it was whole animal and because we do sell burgers and that, if I did mess up, it was still being used.
Yeah.
And the price point on buying whole animal made sense. It wasn't like, oh God, I just lost $500 for the restaurant. It was always getting used. So that was a good way to learn. Well,
yeah, that makes total sense. I think people don't realize is that when they say, oh, whole animals or whatever, like everything, I mean, of course, there's some waste.
There's a little bit of waste.
But you can actually, if you want to use bones for stock or stuff like that, there's stuff you could do with them or, but the entire, everything you sell is dictated on that hang weight price. So if you pay $3.95 a pound on that hang weight, everything from your burgers, which now if you buy Pat LaFrieda mix or De Braga and Switzer mix or whoever, it's around that. I mean, it's a little less, a little more, depending on what you get. But everything is dictated off that price, and that's to do it. It's more of a labor. Yeah. It's more on the labor side.
Sure. I mean, we basically became our own middleman in that sense. Like we, you know, because we're sharing the meat between two restaurants before Savoy. Now it's the two back 40s. We have to weigh everything, and then we do our own pricing based on what, how much of each meat we're using, and what's the percentage, and dividing it. So. You know, for a ribeye, I'm personally paying $6.95 for dry-aged, four-week dry-aged ribeye, which if I were to buy that from somebody from Pat LaFrieda or anything, that's $12, $14, $16 a pound. I'm paying $6.95.
$179, I think they call it. The stupid numbering system that they do for, I don't know, it's stupid, but it makes sense. It's probably been around for 100 years. I'm calling it retarded. It's like, it's been going on since they call, like, you know, zero by one, all that fun stuff. And it's just that technical jargon that just, like, makes you sound important and stuff. But talk to me before you brought up an amazing thing, and it's so New York, and it's so cool that you were when you, one of your first jobs when you came to New York, was at Savoy.
Was my first actual paid culinary job was at Savoy. I went to school at FCI. Never knew Savoy was down the street. I worked in this kosher French steakhouse in Midtown. I bartended while I was in culinary school, called Le Marais. And the chef there was a woman, and she goes, "Well, there's this little restaurant down in Soho called Savoy. You should just drop off your resume." She's like, "The chef, he's does good food and focuses on local cuisine and seasonality." I had no idea what local and seasonality even meant.
Well, yeah, at that point.
I was 21. I was like from Florida. Like you eat, you know, asparagus all year. You know, so that I had no clue. And I walked in and they gave me a job and I was shaking in my boots for the first 3 months working there.
You're 21. It's 2001.
I moved
correct?
To New World York. Trade, yeah, the, I moved to New York when I was 20.
Did you get the job after the World Trade Center?
No, actually, my first day of work was supposed to be September 11th. I get goosebumps when I think about it.
That's so weird.
Yeah, I was supposed to be, that was supposed to be my first day to go into work, starting my life, and then the World Trade Center happened, and surprisingly, Peter called me and was like, "Well, we're not going to be open," so, and I thought that I was going to lose my job because it was dead. It was no business. It was insane. It was, but he just kept on going and pulled through. So.
And that's one of the classic things of those restaurateurs that have come through the fire or they've been there that have operated for 20 or 30 years. You know, the sad part about the legality of the business, it's really kind of eliminated a lot of these people that kind of come in and have worked and, you know, all the red tape and everything you have to pay to get things.
It's
killed the small, you know, a lot of the small businesses. So if everyone wants to wonder why, you know, you don't see these places as much as they do, I mean, that's a big thing. I mean, the city is, you know, whether it's the health department and things like that, you know, it's killed, yeah.
A lot of stuff. Every point is $500 from the health department.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like we just, you know, and now they come two times in a row if you don't get an A right away and you're giving them $1,500, $2,000 a pop.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money for a small business.
Yeah, exactly. And then on top of that, all the stuff that you have to do, like, all the stuff you have to do, and they're like, if people listen, they'll be like, oh, you know, yeah, well, your stuff's not right. It's like, no, actually, it kind of is. The stuff they want to do is like, you know, it's not very practical. It's like, oh, yes, this needs to be moved to the right.
Yeah.
It's like the same ideas you would apply to, like, getting a ticket because of a sign
is
too close.
It's like getting a shakedown. It's like the mafia, you know? Like, they're totally shaking, like, give us money now.
So now being in that space after all the history of, like, you know, of knowing what you knew and you were there, do you take a little more pride? Like, do you, like, own that location?
I
don't know. I was sleeping on that thing 10 years ago. Don't tell me about... I was this blodgett oven was giving me problems 10 years ago.
It's sort of like I've been in there forever. I mean, the kitchen's a little different than it was before, but the basement's the same. I mean, it's still the same building. It just, you know, the bar is on a different side of the dining room. The things that I found frustrating when I first worked there 11 years ago are still frustrating now. You know, the space issues and I mean, the walk-in is literally like 5x5, and you know, we have 80 seats. It's just you have to duck when you're in the walk-in. You can't even stand.
Do you guys have tap beer? Like, do you guys have kegs?
Yeah, no, they added a second small beer walk-in in the changing room, and I'm just like, it's so cramped. But the building's like, it's 100 years old or something. Yeah. It's insane. It's it's definitely landmarked. Peter can't do anything to the facade anymore. It's really cool being in there. There's neighbors that live upstairs. A woman's been living there forever. It's like it's an apartment building.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's one of the, so if you're walking, so anyone that's there and they're walking on Broadway South and they make a left, you know, you're going to pass Balthazar, you'll pass that Starbucks.
Yeah.
You know, you walk down, there's Rice to Riches on the left hand side, and then on the right you'll see.
Yeah. So it's on Prince. It's one block east of Broadway. Prince and Crosby.
And it's an interesting crowd because you get a lot of, you know, it's a tourism, obviously, but you get a lot of, like, random, there's a lot of the fashion industry is down there. What's your clientele now?
Well, the client, it's different between day and night. Day is definitely very touristy. I mean, so if anybody knows, Soho is, it's an outdoor shopping mall. I mean, you walk up and down Broadway, it's just...
Uniqlo bags.
Yeah, Uniqlo bags, Topshop, it's insane. And people that come in there, I was, like, so frustrated when we first opened. Everybody wants a well-done burger. Like, what is it with Europeans and well-done burgers? Like,
Do you not serve that?
No, I do. It's not worth the fight.
Yeah, anymore. It's just not anymore.
It's like, whatever. If you want to pay 18, maybe 15 bucks for your well-done burger and whatever. I mean, but I don't get it. Like, it's who eats well-done anymore?
Yeah, exactly.
So that was really frustrating. But so the day crowd is definitely more touristy. We're open all day. We open at 8 o'clock in the morning. We do coffee and house-made pastries to go, or you can sit down and have an egg sandwich. And then we do lunch, and we stay open straight through. We do like an in-between menu, lunch and dinner, but it's pretty expansive. I feel like that's sort of really changed the space in a sense because, you know.
It's almost like a brasserie.
It's a brasserie. Yeah. And the people are there. They're there. They're shopping. They're spending money. It's, you know, even the amount of cash we get is different than, you know, other restaurants because, you know, if tourists all spend cash. And then nighttime is, I feel like it's definitely more our crowd. There's not as many tourists.
And the place looks beautiful. If you're walking at night on Prince, and you can see these candles, and it has when you look in your restaurant,
it's great. Whether it has a
yellowy, like, carvage, like, it just looks like.
Wall, the main wall in the downstairs dining room is just like they just took down whatever drywall was there, and it's exposed brick but concrete. It's sort of very raw space in that sense.
You brought one of your employees today?
I did. I did bring one of my employees, my nephew, Matthew, Matt, sorry, visiting from Florida. He's
Matthew Pacifico?
Matt.
Wichar.
What's your last name?
Wichar.
Wichar?
Yeah.
I just want to congratulate you on that Justin Bieber t-shirt you have on.
Oh yeah, you know me, huge fan.
What's up? So you're this is great because you came here to work at your aunt's restaurant. I hope you're not taking advantage of, you know, kind of her being the boss. You're just coming in and working, right?
Yep, she treats me like every other employee.
She yells at you like, stop lingering at the pass.
Yep.
You're a runner.
Oh yeah.
I had to, well, when he first got here, I had to tell him, we had to pull him aside like second day work. I was like, listen, I was like, I know I'm your aunt. I was like, but here is work. And I was like, you can't knock me at work because it makes me look weak. And he was like, there's no, like, you know, because, you know, we love each other. He's my nephew. I was in the delivery room when he was born. You know, so but I was like, you can't hug me. I'm the boss.
Yeah, I call her Chef Auntie.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
So now my nickname at work is Chef Auntie.
Do you like working in the city? Or?
Oh, yeah. I really like it here.
What's the, like, things that you'd notice being in New York, working in restaurants, you know, coming from? Because your family's, like, sort of service industry based.
Yep.
You guys do carnival kind of work. Is that...
We're carnies.
Oh, yeah. way back.
So is that... did you guys see that show Carnival on HBO? Remember that?
I did.
Did you like it?
Yeah, I liked it.
It was good. Oh, they only did one... Well, Nick Stahl, who's dropped off the face of the earth.
Yeah,
he did after that one.
But, like, things that you notice that you, like just coming in and working and, like, people just not obnoxious, but, like, you put down stuff and people don't acknowledge your existence when you put their food down or anything you notice, like, those little small details?
Some do, some don't. I've noticed, like, people that... like are from out of country, they seem like obnoxious a little bit.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
How many people send food back?
So far,
I'm like, you better answer this right.
I'm kidding. Just one, but she didn't even taste the food. She just looked at it and sent it back.
Because it was too much. It was a model.
We had a guy last night sent back his trout, and he maybe took a half a bite, and he's like, "It's not right," as in it was like bad trout, and I'm like, "No, it came in today. It's pretty fresh."
do you feel like you work in an industry so much that you can't, like, you almost get worse or lesser service because you feel bad to sit? Are you at the point now, like, I haven't, like a year ago, I was saying whatever the hell was on my mind. I don't know what it was, but now I've sort of gone back down and I'm a little more introverted when I go out. So if something's wrong, I just won't say anything, but... Do you go?
Oh no! I mean, I'm the worst person to go out to eat with because I'm criticizing everything. Yeah. I mean, like, oh, you know, especially service. For some reason, like, I'm just like, why am I getting such bad service? You know, like, you know, that just
because you work so hard. You work so goddamn hard that you want.
I feel like people shouldn't lose the attention to detail. I don't care how casual the restaurant is. Like, you have to have attention to detail. I want my water glass filled. I'm now spending, you know, hard earned money. And to eat at your restaurant where I could probably make the food better or, you know, or I could have better service somewhere else, especially in the city where there's so many restaurants, so much competition.
Talk to me about one or two places that you like to go, like, just relax and kind of chill out or your days off.
Well, I like to go to Chinatown. There's a restaurant called Namwa that I like. The dumplings are great. I come here to Roberta's a lot because I actually live, like, right down the street from here. Perfect.
Make a note of that in case a guest doesn't show up.
Yeah, Patrick used to come. He's like, "Can you come in?"
Hey, it's Patrick. Hi. Listen, you just were out with the first couple of the slow food movement out in
the Rockaway. Yeah, we got a house out there.
Is it made out of sustainable material? I feel like the house, everything's reclaimed wood. There's nothing.
No, it's
and has like a perfect spread of like curated cheeses. Like, this one is from
yeah. There's definitely you go out there. There's definitely pork and cheese in the refrigerator. Yeah. It's like always there.
But like, see, like Anne, I trust, but Patrick might have some frozen piece of like something like I sent back 2 years ago and he just hasn't rotated properly. He'd be like, yeah, there's we got a piece of a ham in there. I think
1995. Yeah. No, it's great. They're great. They're a great couple.
They're amazing. Patrick is an inspiration to me personally. I mean, the guy, he's the reason why we're here.
Yeah.
And his company and
he's definitely a visionary. He's definitely I think of him as a mover and shaker. I feel like he's got so much going on and interesting. And then, you know, this is sort of like off the cuff, this radio station that's sort of taken off. I think that's definitely really cool.
Well, I want to thank you for coming out today. Any other? Yeah. You have a Twitter. What's your Twitter? Because I was.
My Twitter is
you can see what you.
It's at, pina colada. At Shauna Pacifico. Shanna.
And if anyone wants to see what her pina colada that you had the other.
Yeah. The Rockaways. You gotta go to Connolly's to have the pina colada. I literally took a gallon pitcher and was like, "Can you fill this, please?"
So, wait, are you there every weekend?
I'm not there every week. Rotating? I mean, no, I'm here today. So, no, I'm probably like I'll probably go out a few more times, but every weekend, my body can only take so much sun, even though I'm from Florida.
This is true. And Matt, when are you heading back down south?
I think August 4th or 5th because school for me starts August 8th, so I need to be back down early.
August 8th school? Is that...
Yeah.
Isn't September... Why is that?
I don't think school starts... I think August 8th is like a Saturday.
No, like it starts the 8th night. Somewhere around that day it starts. It's still truly early.
And he only has 2 months. He just... I mean, he goes to a charter school, so...
And are you traveling around? Are you guys doing... You said something about the Carney stuff. Like, is that still... Are you traveling around?
I'm so happy I'm here because if I wasn't, I'd be doing that right now.
Working for his mom.
You've been trying to get me to throw a ball at, like, pins or something?
No, no. We sell food. We sell food. Yeah, so my whole family still does it, yeah. My uncle, my dad, my
travel around
sister.
The country.
Travel, yeah. Usually in the summer, it's like the Midwest, like Indiana, Illinois.
With a semi? Like everything's in a
semi?
Yeah,
trucks. Mm-hmm. We live in house trailers and pulling with the trucks, the trailer.
That's cool. That's awesome. I was just at Bonnaroo. That probably was like pretty similar to...
Yeah, no, it's like that. We play music festivals or like, you know, county fairs, 4-H
fairs.
What's
4-H stuff?
Hey, Carlos. How's the new job doing, treating you?
It's pretty good.
Are you allowed to talk about it?
I can talk about it.
You're working at the Nomad.
The Nomad.
Yeah, the hotel.
The new hotspot.
Yeah, kind of both.
Like you're doing the door? Like I remember you doing
door the door and some kitchen stuff too.
Kitchen? So wait, the door and kitchen stuff.
The door
stuff.
And the kitchen.
That's
I
the
need
most
two jobs.
What are you doing in the kitchen?
Just like a kitchen runner.
Oh.
Me too.
All right, well, you and Matt can hang out afterwards.
You guys can, you know, share secrets.
Yeah. everything else is good, man. It's nice to see you in the studio, dude.
Yeah, everything's great.
All right. Well, let's end this episode here. Morning After. Actually, next week, coming up, we have Michael White. A bunch of other. I forget what else we got going on. I think I'm going to get Colin Metco back on. And then also tune in. We'll talk about it again next week. But tune in to me on Sirius XM. That's it. I'm Jason Colucci. You can follow me at the Jason Colucci on Twitter. You can like us on Facebook. The Morning After page, Matt. That's your homework assignment.
Oh yeah.
Tell all your friends. That's it. See you next week.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our programs archived on our website or by searching iTunes for Heritage Radio Network. You can find us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website. Thanks for listening.